Okay, good morning everybody, and welcome to this really wonderful program. A thank you to Yeshivat HaKotel, and a thank you to all the organizers who worked so hard to put together such a beautiful, beautiful morning of learning Torah together. This morning's program, I feel very honored to be a part of it, not only because it's a great honor to be on this cast of incredible speakers and Talmidei Chachamim, but aside from that, I feel very honored because it's in memory of Rabbi Rafael Pelkowitz. And Rabbi Pelkowitz was an individual who I was very close with, who I loved very, very much, who I learned so much from in my own career, in the style of speaking and in the style of leadership. I felt very connected with him from my years in the White Shul, that I sat next to him for 4 years while I was there. And I feel that there's no greater appropriate topic than to speak about being truthful when we have a day that commemorates the legacy of Rabbi Pelkowitz. Rabbi Pelkowitz was such an honest person. He was such a unique individual, certainly in that regard. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, just trying to stall for time because the other speakers just finished. So they told me to stall. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, Amud Beis, Kasha Misasan Shel Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. The Gemara says when a righteous person passes away, it is considered to be as severe or perhaps more severe then the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. And as we know, we're in the time of year now when we commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And we all know that it's an acute pain for all of us. We all know that it's something that we take very seriously. Tisha B'Av, Shiva, Sabbat Tammuz, and the 3 weeks. And yet the Gemara says that comparable to that experience is Misas HaTzadikim, is the passing of a righteous person. At the same time that we know that it's considered to be a moment of terrible sadness and a moment of great loss, the Gemara says also in Moed Katan Daf Chav Ches that Lama Nismacha Misas Aaron. In this past week's parsha, we learn about the death of Aaron HaKohen. And the Gemara asks, why is it that the death of Aaron HaKohen was put in such close proximity to the Torah's description of the Big Day Kuhuna? And the Gemara tells us that it teaches us the following lesson. Ma Big Day Kuhuna Mechaprin. Just as Big Day Kuhuna, while Aaron wears his begadim, it provides an atonement for the Jewish people, so too says the Gemara, Af Misa Satzadikim Mechaperes. So too, the death of a righteous person is able to offer us as a community an atonement. So, one of the beautiful Svarim on that Gemara comments that perhaps the connection between the death of a Talmud Chacham and the Big Day Kuhuna of Aaron HaKohen, we're told, in that Gemara, perhaps the understanding of that is that the only time the Big Day Kuhuna offer an atonement are when they are be'odan aleihem, while the Kohen is actually wearing the begadim. What if the Kohen leaves the begadim in the locker in the Beis HaMikdash and he never takes them out? Obviously, they cannot give an atonement if he's not actually wearing them at the time. Well, so too, perhaps that's the understanding. When we go through a tragedy, when we go through the loss of a great person, so the Gemara tells us, it offers us an atonement, and it's something that can be a kapara for the generation, but only when it's odam aleihem. Only when we are willing to preserve the great legacy and the life and the mission of that person and what they were all about. If we're going to adapt to the principles that they stood for, only then do we have an opportunity to really gain an atonement from them. And I feel Rabbi Pelkowitz was a man who was of such tremendous integrity, who was of such honest and virtuous ways, and everything that he did was just straight, with no shtick at all, and everything was so honest and b'derech hayashar, and I feel it's the most appropriate topic of the day to really honor his legacy, and I once again hope that our Divrei Torah will be a ilui for his neshama, and that he should only go mechayel al chayel from all the wonderful, wonderful things that he created in his lifetime. I know in the last days of Rabbi Pelkowitz's life, when he really was not so conscious any longer, the family members told us that they heard him saying repeatedly over and over again, Emes, Emes, Emes. Obviously, that was such a major part of his heart. That's who he was. At a time of life when he couldn't even communicate anymore about things that he wanted to say, he was still giving messages over to the community about what were the most important values of his life. So, with that introduction, let us begin our topic for today, which is, did our teachers lie to us? The importance of being honest with our children. This is something that I feel is a very important idea because of the home that I grew up in. My father, I don't know if everybody in the room knows him personally, but my father is an extremely honest person, sometimes to a fault, very often to a fault. He will say the honest truth, even if it gets him into trouble, even if other people might not like it. But he is an honest man, and there is nothing that sways his opinion from the absolute honesty and truth of life. And I remember as a child growing up, this is something that he always made sure to highlight to all of us as children. And this is something that he was always very careful to teach us about the importance of being honest, about the importance of being an upstanding citizen, and how many times he used to speak to us about how upset he was. You know, there were many community issues that he was involved in and he continues to be involved in, and there are many problems in the world, but I don't think there's anything that he speaks about more to us as a family than how angry it makes him when he sees that religious people are cheating on their income taxes and are being dishonest and are just not filing properly and aren't doing the things that they're supposed to be doing as upstanding citizens. And not only the Chilul Hashem part of it bothers him, but also just the fact that as Jews, we are expected to be honest people. So we'll get more into that a little bit later, but let's begin with the following. The premise and the presumption of everything that we're going to say today is predicated on the fact that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tzidkascha tzedek li'olam visarascha emes. We know that God's statute, that everything that God stands for is considered here forever. It is le'olam. It is something that will never go away. It's eternal. Visarascha emes. And says the Pasuk, this is something that we mention every Shabbos mincha in our davening, that the Torah is considered to be truthful, the Torah is considered to be accurate, and it's an honest description of everything that God expects us to do in our lives. It's authoritative. That's what it means, v'sorascha emes. And the Mefarshim comment on that Pasuk in Tehillim, it's found in the Radak, and in the Malbim, and in many other Mefarshim on that Pasuk. V'sorascha emes, misha oev es haTorah. Anybody who loves, anybody who respects, and who understands and appreciates what the Torah stands for, Sone es haSheker, will absolutely reject and repudiate Sheker. Because what our Torah is all about is a Torah's emes. And a person who wants to be a Jew, a person who really wants to live a life abiding by the rules that the Torah expects us to live, it is somebody who has to understand that we must be Sone es haSheker. We have to absolutely, with all our being, we have to understand that the inverse of Torah is a person who lives a life of dishonesty. In Sefer Ezra, the Navi tells us, Al Har Sinai Yaradata, the Ribbono Shel Olam came down on Har Sinai, V'diber Imahem Mishamayim, and he spoke and he communicated with us from heaven, as we know, Aseres HaDibros, Kabbalah HaTorah, the greatest moment in Jewish history, V'atitin Lahem Mishpatim Yisharim, and God gave over to us the laws that are just, V'soros Emes, the way that the Navi describes what God gave over to us was that he gave us not only Mishpatim Yisharim, not only laws that are just, but also Torah's Emes, that he gave us a truthful Torah. Chukim u'mitzvos tovim, but that's what our lives are all about, and this is really what we say every morning in Birchas HaTorah. V'nasan lanu Torah's Emes. We all admit to it every day, we might not think about it, but what the Torah stands for is a life of honesty, a life of transparency, a life of a person understanding that they need to make sure that everything they do is above board, that everything that we deal with other individuals is always with truth and honesty. As we know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it should be no surprise to us when we know that the Torah is built on being a Torah's emes, and this is really one of the most important values that we have to think about. So as we know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and it should be no surprise why there's such a tremendous emphasis on this aspect, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayim. The world stands on three very important pillars. This is what gives existence to the world. Al Ha'emes, Va'al Ha'din, Va'al HaShalom. The world stands on truth, on justice, and on peace. Because if you don't have truth, you don't have a society. In fact, the Navi tells us, one of the defining characteristics of what it means to be a Jew, says the Navi, is She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yidabru kazav. One of the defining characteristics of what it means to be a Jew is She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yidabru kazav. That's what it means to be a Jew, that we don't speak something which we don't believe to be true. If you do so, says the Navi, you don't have a place in the Jewish community, because our Torah is a Torah's emes. That is what we stand for. That is the most important value that God Himself stands for. Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, says the Gemara. The stamp, so to speak, of God Himself is emes, and that's what life is all about. Says the Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Gemara tells us, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. There are three individuals that God absolutely loves. Who are they? Misha eno koes, somebody who doesn't get angry, difficult thing to do. Misha eno mistaker, someone who doesn't get drunk, also difficult for some people. And number three, Misha eno mamid al midosav, somebody who is able to let things slide, somebody who is humble enough to, even if other people might hurt you, even intentionally, but you're able to be maver al midosav. Number two, says the Gemara, those are the three people that God absolutely loves. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu sonam. There are three people who God actually despises, three people who God abhors, who he has no patience for. Says the Gemara, one of them is Hamedaber Echad Bepev Echad Belev. You ever had a business interaction or a personal interaction with another individual who is Medaber Echad Bepev Echad Belev, who says one thing and you just get the feeling it's not really what they mean, it's not really what they feel. They're just trying to fool you. Anyone ever had such an uncomfortable interaction? Well, says the Gemara, you're in good company, because God is also pretty uncomfortable with such a person. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu sonam. Misha medaber echad bepeh ve'echad belev. In fact, when the Mesilas Yesharim, which is such an important work of hashkafa, of philosophy, so the Ramchal writes in the Mesilas Yesharim in the 1700s, when he talks about all the different midos, he goes into great detail about Anava and about Yerushamayim and everything else. When it comes to Midas HaEmes, when it comes to that aspect of life, he writes, Ein sarach laharach bedavar azeh. I don't have the need to elaborate on this too much. Shehasecha machayva v'hadas machricha, because basic human intellect tells us that this is the way we should lead our lives. This is not a surprise to anybody. We know that we don't like when other people deal with us in a dishonest fashion. We know that we can't stand it when other people are not upfront and authentic with us. And therefore, says the Mesilas Yesharim, I don't have to get too far into it. I don't need to get into the details because this is something that is so obvious, or it should be obvious, to any Jew that lives within a Torah lifestyle as we understand it. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Gemara tells us, you know, we're now in the cusp of the commemoration for Churban Beis HaMikdash. And we've all heard many different Mamari Chazal, Alma of the Haaretz, why was the Yerushalayim destroyed? Why were we thrown out of Eretz Yisrael? Why are we in Gullus? And why do we have all these terrible things? So the Gemara has many different interpretations, but says the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, you want to know the Charba Yerushalayim. Why was Yerushalayim destroyed, says the Gemara? Bishvil shepasku mimenu anshe amana. Because they did not find any longer in Yerushalayim people who were honest. People were not willing to be upfront with each other. And writes the Vilna Gaon, one of his Talmidim records, that if the Gemara tells us that one of the reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed is because Anshei Amana were not there, it means that Yerushalayim will need to come back when we have a community that understands the value of being honest human beings, of being honest Jews. That's the way to bring Yerushalayim back, and it's something for us to think about. The Sefer Chassidim, one of the very early Svarim in the 1100s, he was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the great tzaddikim. So he writes a story about a Russia who did all kinds of terrible averos throughout his life. And one time he meets up with Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and he asks him, look, I'm a terrible person. I made horrible mistakes, horrible choices throughout life. I'd like to know. I'm willing to take one thing upon myself. What should I do? I'm going to change something. What should I do? So how do you answer such a question? Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is looking at him and he says, your whole life is in such terrible disarray. How can I give you advice of how to turn everything around so quickly? After thinking about it for a little bit, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid turns to him and he says, you know what? I think what you should take upon yourself is to be an honest person. Why? Said Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Because if you're honest, everything else falls into place. You found yourself going to inappropriate places. Well, tonight when you come home and your wife asks you, what did you do today? You're not going to be able to lie to her. And because you're not going to be able to lie to her, it's going to stop you from doing that avera. And when everything else in life is going to be going in directions that you don't want it to go, and someone's going to ask you a question about it, but you know that you have to be honest. Honesty is the way to change everything. And writes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, this is the way that a person has the ability to turn all of life around. Because if a person understands that I can never veer off from the emes, from the truth, that is something that can always keep all the rest of life in a balance. Says Rabbeinu Bachaye, and this is something that is not only stated in his words, but it's just stated very beautifully in Rabbeinu Bachaye. He says, Kala machzik b'midas ha'emes, tfilaso nishmas. We have so much that we need to daven for. And especially those of us who have children or who have grandchildren or who are looking forward to getting married or having children, do we not understand how much we have to daven for? People come to shul and you watch the way they daven, and I always wonder, do they have nothing in life that they need to daven for? Is this really what davening means to them? I wish I can tell them some of the things I hear about. At least give 5 minutes every time for the other people in the community who can use a tefillah if you have nothing going wrong in your family. We have plenty that we can give over to you. Plenty of other stories of people who need a tefillah. But says Rabbeinu Bechaya, you want to know how to make a serious commitment to tefillah? Forgetting about kavanah, which is obviously axiomatic to tefillah, and forgetting about everything else that is necessary for a tefillah, but says Rabbeinu Bechaya, kala machzik b'midas ha'emes, if a person is willing to be honest. So even if your tefillah is not 100% where it should be, tefillah so nishmas. How do we know? We say it every day in davening. We say it every day in our davening. Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikra'u be'emes. God is willing to listen to all of us. Doesn't matter how much kavanah we have, how little kavanah we have. Doesn't matter how much we prepared for the tefillah. Doesn't matter how much we thought about or how much we had to daven for. As long as we approach Him be'emes. That's all He's looking for. And writes Rabbeinu Bechaya, we say it every day. But how often do we live it? Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emes. God is looking for sincerity. God is looking for honesty. So my father told me a story a number of years ago. It's a humorous story, but it's true. He told me that there was a rabbi who called him up a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And he told him that he had a problem. He had a Baal Tefillah in the shul who was scheduled to daven that year on Rosh Hashanah. And a couple of weeks before Yom Tov, he came to the rabbi and he said, I have an issue. So the rabbi said, what's the problem? So he told him, my problem is that we start off Musaf on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and we say, Hineni ha'ani mima'as. Here I am standing before God as a pauper, as a person who has nothing. And he turned to the rabbi and he said, after all, I'm really not an ani. I'm really not poor. So how can I say that? How can I be the Baal Tefillah and I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to say that? So the rabbi turned back to him and he said, I don't understand. If you read the next word and you look at the Art School translation, it doesn't say rich or poor monetarily. It says, Hineni ha'ani mimas, which means that my deeds are lacking. My observance in mitzvos is not where it should be. And I stand humbly before God and I say, although I am lacking in that area of life and that aspect of life, I still put myself forth and I want you to listen to my tefillah. So the rabbi said, what does it matter how much money you have? And the chazan turns back to him and he says, no, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I don't feel there's anything lacking in my observance of mitzvahs. I don't know how I can say it. Well, the rabbi turned back to him and he said, if that's the case, I don't think you should be the chazan. So it's an interesting story. And when I heard it, I thought it was funny as well. But then many years later, I saw the Rabbi Yalapian in the Sefer Lev Eliyo has the story in the opposite direction. An amazing story. Rabbi Yalapian himself, one of the great Bali Musar in the last generation, was also a chazan on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for Musaf. And Rabbi Yalapian also said, I was not able to say, Hineni ha'ani mimas, I couldn't offer that tefillah before I davened. I used to have someone else say it. And they asked Rabbi Yalapian, why? Why do you leave it out? And he says, how can I say with a straight face before God that I am nirash v'nifchad mipachad Yosef tehilos Yisrael? How can I say with a sincerity that I'm really frightened the way I should be on Erev Rosh Hashanah to stand before God because my whole life is in His hands? Yeah? How many of us really have that feeling? Said Rabbi Yalapian, I'm going to go and lie in front of God? I'm going to go before Him and I'm going to say a statement that I know is not true? You know how afraid I should be to stand before God on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I'm not there. I'm not nirash v'nifcha the way a person should be. I once got a speeding ticket and I had to go to court and I was petrified. Over what? I don't know. It was $200. What's the big deal, right? They weren't going to take my license away. It was 2 points. First time in my life. I was standing in front of the judge. I was shaking. The policeman didn't even show up. I was shaking. I didn't even know what to say. It happened to be, it was 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. A guy from the white shul was so nice, he came along with me. And he turns to me and he says, what are you so afraid of? I said, I don't even know. And I thought about it. I said, this is the way I am standing in front of a judge when the policeman doesn't even show up to prosecute me. Because it was nothing. And I said to myself, do I ever think this way on Rosh Hashanah? Do I ever stand before God and quiver like this? What's going to be with my year ahead? much more than a $200 ticket and 2 points? And that's what Rabbi Yelapian said. He said that the Navi tells us, Dover Shkarim lo yechuvan the neged einai. A person who is not able to be honest is not welcome in the presence of the Shechina. This is what we say on Yamim Naraim, Ki ata Elokim emes, udvarcha emes v'kayim la'ad. Everything about our religion is honesty. Everything that our religion stands for is to be an upstanding citizen and to be authentic. And that's what it's all about, because that's what God is interested in. Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikra'uhu v'emes. Let's turn now our attention to Chinuch Habanim, where the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah Daf Memvav, Amar Abzera Lolema Inish Liyunuka, a person should never say to their children, and unfortunately we all do this, but the Gemara warns us that it's really not a good idea. Don't ever say to your children, Diyahivna Lach Midi Velo Yahivle. How often do you tell your child, I'll give you a lollipop, if this and that? You promise a child something, Velo Yahivle, and something comes up. You're not trying to cheat the child intentionally. You have 100 other things that you're trying to think about. You have to run out here, you have to do this errand, you have to go shopping, and you're busy with a lot of other things. But for that child, there's nothing else he's going to remember from that experience than, my parent lied to me. And the child cannot understand that there are 100 other things going on in an adult's life, and that life doesn't just revolve around this little toy or the little candy that you told them you would get them. But says the Gemara, lo yai, lo lema inish li yunuka. Don't ever tell a child, yahivna lach midi, I promise I will give you something, velo yahivle, and you don't follow through. Mishum da'ase la'agmure shikra. Because you are teaching the child to be dishonest. You are teaching the child that it's acceptable to say something and not to follow through with it. Says the Gemara, as parents, we need to be so careful about this. So the Shala HaKadosh picks up on that theme. Shala HaKadosh, one of the great Gedolim in the 1500s, writes as follows, Klal Gadol Yiyeh La'av HaMiyaser Beno. We all try to educate or discipline our children. Everybody has their own style, but says the Shala, a parent who is trying to discipline or to educate their child, Sheyiyeh Batuach Shehaben Holech Bederech HaYasher. We all want to have decent and straightforward children. What more can we ask for in life? That's what we all want. How are we going to ensure that our children will be decent human beings even when they're not in our presence? Our kids are about to go off to camp. So many parents mentioned to me on Shabbos how nervous they are. What's going to happen in camp? Why are you so nervous? I said to some of them. Well, some of them said, you never know. You're sending your kids to an environment. I don't know who's going to start up with them. Chas v'shalom. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to bully them. Some parents have those concerns. Other parents know their kids are not going to be bullied, but they're concerned because I don't know how my child is going to act to others. How can it be? You don't know how your child is going to act to others, says the Shala HaKadosh. You want to ensure that your child is going to be a mensch with other people? You as a parent should make sure that the greatest emphasis that you put into their education is lahadricho b'midas ha'emes, is to teach your children to be honest. V'yagdilo onesh ha-sheker. The greatest thing that a child can do to hurt you should be if a child lies or is dishonest with you. V'yispar lo haschar ha-gadol meha-omer ha-emes. Says the Shala HaKadosh, the greatest thing we should reward our children for is when they have the courage to tell us the truth. V'yatil more gadol alav b'im yotzi mipiv davar echad shel sheker. And the Shala HaKadosh goes on to describe a story about one of the great tzaddikim in Yerushalayim. And he said this tzaddik was a person who never said a dishonest word in his life. And the Shala said it was just so obvious when you met this person how deeply honest they were about everything. And the Shala said he finally asked him, what got you to be so careful about honesty? What was it in your life? And he said, I'll tell you the truth. When my father raised me, he told us as children, there was once something terrible that took place in the family. We were all involved. And my father called all of us children into the room. And he said, look, anyone who's honest with me will get a reward, even if it means you did something bad. Anyone who lies to me is going to be punished if I find out later on that what you said to me wasn't true. Well, the Shalar Kaddish writes that this father found out that some of his children told him a dishonest story about what took place, what happened, who was responsible, who wasn't. They tried to get themselves out of it. Says the Shalar Kaddish, the father punished that child so horribly, even though the other children were really responsible as well for doing the terrible activity, but at least they were honest. And the Shalar writes, we have to be so careful about teaching our children to always be honest with everything that we do. So much so, we have a story in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. It's an amazing story. Hard to understand exactly what the story is about, but the Gemara tells us that Rav, I don't know how else to say it other than the fact that it seems he was married to a witch. Seems. So the Gemara says, Rav used to have a woman who he was married to, and every time he asked for one thing, she would make him the opposite. He wanted fleishiks tonight, she would make him milchiks. He wanted this, she made that. Every time it was in spite. Every time he wanted something, she made him the opposite. Finally, his son got old enough, and he was watching every day how his father would ask for one thing and get the opposite. The son decided he's going to start being the middleman. He's stam a bad idea. Children should not be the middleman between parents. So the child decided that he's going to help his father out. So he would go ask the father every night, what do you want for dinner? And then he would tell the wife the opposite. And then by the time she brought it to the table, it was exactly what the father wanted. Good idea. So one fine day, this is going on for a couple of weeks, and it seems the woman is turning around. All of a sudden, things are going well. The marriage is on an upswing. So Rob turns to his son. He says, you know, your mother's doing really well. I've noticed recently that every time I ask for something, she actually gives me what I want. How nice of her. You know, she's 30 years too late, but it seems she's learning. So the Gemara says, the child turns to his father, he says, you fool? You think mom's so great? Let me tell you the real story. Every night when you ask for something, I tell her the opposite, so that she makes you the opposite of what I told her, which is really what you wanted. And the father tells his son, afal pikein lo tasakein. I know that you're doing it because you want me to be more comfortable, because you want our relationship to be better. But he says, I oppose to such behavior. Don't ever lie to anyone. Even if it's to help me, even if it's to help your mother. Limdu l'shonam d'var sheker. I cannot teach my children to be dishonest. That's the worst thing I can do, says Rav. Even if it means I'll suffer for the rest of my life. But I cannot teach my children to be dishonest. Even when there's a tremendous purpose. So it's true, the Shulchan Aruch writes, when you have a Rebbe, or a Mora, or a parent, whoever it is, who's trying to be mechadeid es ha-talmidim. I don't teach young children, so I don't really know what it means. But the Shulchan Aruch assumes that there are times when you want to try and encourage a young student to be inquisitive, to ask good questions. So you'll say something that is not 100% truthful, so that they'll correct you, so that you know that they'll jump on you. So the Shulchan Aruch says in a case like that, where it's for the purpose of real education, because you want them to learn better and to be excited about it, and if they catch the teacher on something they got wrong, it's a very exciting thing, well then, says the Shulchan Aruch, that would be permissible. But outside of that, the Shulchan Aruch assumes, based on this Gemara, that this is something we should stay very far away from. I know that every year in my parents' home when we were children, my father would have the same discomfort every single year. We would come home from school before Pesach, and everybody has their own projects and stories and everything they come home to the Seder with. So Seder in my parents' house was always very interesting. And I remember every year my father made the same comment. We got to the end of the Seder about Koso Shel Eliyahu. And as children, they teach you in school that Eliyahu Navi comes to the house and he drinks a little bit of the wine, and like while the kids aren't looking by the door, the parent pours a little bit out. Anyone ever heard of such a thing? So I remember that as children, we used to come and ask my father, did Eliyahu Navi show up? You know, was he here? The cup is full in our house. You know, how come he didn't come to our house? And my father every year would share his discomfort. And he said, how dare our rabbein and our teachers teach us something that we all know is not true? So it's a noble intention. We want our children to think Eliyahu Navi is coming, but we all know that's not why it's called Koso Shel Eliyahu. We all know that it's not called that because we assume Eliyahu Navi's coming and drinking from the wine. We know he's not going to drink from the wine. And my father would be very uncomfortable every year when people would suggest, oh, let's just pour out a little bit. We always had guests by the Seder. Everybody always wanted to outdo him. So always a guest would say, come on, do it for the kids. Just pour a little bit out. And my father would say, why would I teach my kids to be dishonest? Why would I teach them something that I know is not true? Why would I tell them that Eliyahu Navi's coming and just drank from the cup when I know he wasn't here? So it's a subtle point. And I can think of 100 examples throughout my childhood of everything my father used to teach us, but that's something that really sticks out in my mind very prominently, because I know every year he used to mention it, how uncomfortable he was that it seems that the adults lie to their children because they think that a child doesn't need to hear the real story, and as long as the child's going to be inspired, it's good enough. But you cannot inspire through teaching somebody something that is dishonest. Let us close. I see my time is up. Let's close with a story with Rabbi Elimelech Milojensk. He was one of the founders of Hasidus. He was one of the great Gedolim in Poland in the 1700s. So he writes a story about how Liyasid Lavo, Achar Me'eva Esrim Shana, he's going to go up to heaven, and God's going to ask him all kinds of very difficult questions. He's not really going to know what to say. He said God is going to come and he's going to ask him, Hayim Lamadata Torah? Did you learn anything in your life? Did you produce? Were you a productive human being? And he's going to say, not really, I didn't use my time so wisely. I could have done better. And God's going to come to him and he's going to say, well, did you daven properly? He's going to say, look, you know, I tried, but I really could have done much better. I didn't daven with kavanah every day. I didn't always come on time. Wasn't always having the proper thought that I should have had. My mind was sometimes wandering other places. You're right, I didn't learn as well as I should have. I didn't daven as well as I should have either. God's going to ask me, Asakta b'mitzvos u'maasim tovim, did you do any chesed in your life? He's going to say, look, I tried to help some Jews out here and there. I tried to be a nice person, but obviously I could have done more. I didn't spend every minute of my life doing what I should have. I wasn't as productive as you expected me to be. And God's going to look at me and he's going to say, you know what your ticket to Olam Haba is? At least you're an honest person. At least you're an honest person. At least we can let you in, because you would never say something that was one iota away from what the truth absolutely was in your life. As we think about a day of education, and certainly when we dedicate a day in commemoration of Rabbi Pelkowitz, whose life was all about his honesty, his authenticity, his virtue. He was such a special person in so many different ways, but certainly in that regard, he was a man who stood for emes. There was no politics in his life. There was nothing that was anything removed from what the absolute truth was. Because our Torah, as we say every day, is v'nasan lanu toras emes. Tzidkas chatzedek li'olam, God's Torah is one that is eternal, that is here forever. V'sorascha emes, the Navi tells us. This is what life is all about. Karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol asher yikra'uhu v'emes. There is nothing that we can want more from our children than the fact that we want them to be honest and upstanding, decent human beings, that they should be people who others can trust, that they should be people who everybody knows when they come across them, will be people that can always be honest about everything they say and be trusted about everything that comes out of their mouths. It's a high aspiration, it's a lofty goal, but at the same time, as we mentioned, the Gemara says, this is one of the defining characteristics of what it means to be a Jew. The Navi tells us, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yedabru kazav. This is just not the way we act. It's not what we do. We are honest people. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam expects of all of us, because this is what he stands for. Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. In the same way, we have an obligation, v'halachta b'drachav, to follow in the ways of God in so many other aspects of our lives. We certainly have a primary obligation in this aspect of our life to follow in the way of God as well, and to raise ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and certainly anybody else who we interact with to be human beings who will always stay so carefully on the line of Midas HaEmes. I wish everyone a most meaningful summer. Thank you once again.
It's probably 17.